And also something that's going on in Avon this Saturday at Tom's Country Place. It is the annual Wags to Riches. You heard me right, Craig. Not Rags to Riches, Wags to Riches. And it is a benefit to help the folks at the Friendship APL. And we've got the executive director, Greg Willie, joining us this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Morning.
Now, I don't notice in my tie what I'm wearing for you today.
Dog bones.
Dog bones.
Very
tie
nice.
That we have here as well. I thought I would put that in honor of you stopping out for us this morning. Talk a little bit about this fundraiser coming up. Tickets are still available for people to come to it?
They're going fast, actually. We feel like this is going to be our first year we sell out. We only have about 30 tickets remaining at this point, so we're really hoping to push those through and fill up and sell out for this event. It's a really great time for us. It's hosted by Dick Goddard. It is a lot of fun. We have casino events, music. It is an open bar. It has great food provided by Billy over at Tom's Country Place. And we just really have a great time all night long. So lots and lots of prizes to win, everything. We have actually two trips you can win at this event this year. We have a loge that we're giving away for the Cleveland Indians. It just really is a great time.
So you got a lot of great sponsors, people helping out, donating the prizes, getting that together. What do all the funds that you get from this event go for? What kind of things are they used for?
Mostly we use it for medical relief funds. So this allows us to provide particularly extra care to some of the animals that we get in that are injured or sick and need a little bit of an extra leg up, as it were, to have a good quality of life. So, for example, we got in a dog last year named, we named him Jack White. He was tossed out of a car. He was skin and bones, and we took him in, and this dog requires a lot of treatment and care. The person who's fostering has to drive him down to Ohio State University to meet with their medical staff down there because the dog has certain conditions that need the extra care. So they need surgery and extra medication. So, you know, we'll end up spending thousands of dollars on one dog. So that can be very tough for us.
How does a determination like that get made? As far as what to spend on an animal, how long to keep, what care to do, that type of thing.
Well, for us, largely it's about quality of life. If we feel like the animal can have a good quality of life, there is really not a limit that we will spend on providing care for one individual animal. If the animal is determined that the animal is going to suffer as a result of his injury or illness, then we make that determination to maybe not spend the money or invest the money into that particular animal because we don't feel like we can provide it with a good quality of life. But if it can live a good long life, make someone a happy home, have, you know, dozens of years or 10 to 12 years with a good family, then yeah, we're going to try to do our best by that animal.
So you could be spending upwards of whatever amount of money on a dog, and then when it comes time for adoption, you have the regular adoption fees related to that, and that person.
Absolutely. So we're going to charge the same amount for that particular dog that we would for any other dog that comes to our shelter doors.
And what is the going rate right now for adopting of animals at your shelter?
So right now it's $100 to adopt an adult dog, $150 to adopt small breed fluffy dogs, and then $200 to adopt a puppy. And it's $10 to adopt a cat and $40 to adopt a kitten. So those prices are always really low. And on average, we spend $120 per cat and kitten that comes through our doors. So we're always losing money on our adoption side. So we need to make that up somewhere else.
Talk a little bit about, I guess, what the shelter's doing right now as far as maybe improvements and how many residents, how many animals are there right now?
Right now we have probably about 200 animals that are in our shelter at any one given time. Some are at the shelter, some are in foster homes being cared for. Moms and puppies are raised in foster homes rather than in the shelter environment. But it's, about 200 animals. We always have improvements going on at the shelter. We're always trying to do really cool things. So we have lots of cool ideas we're trying to actually talk about. Our shelter is really neat. It's 16,000 square feet. Sits on 6 acres, and we're really trying this year. What we really want to push for is providing low income spay and neuter to our community so that we can try to get ahead of the game so we don't have as many puppies and unwanted offspring coming in. So we're trying to make this affordable push to allow more people to get spay and neuter available to them. And also, we're always trying to kind of improve our shelter. If you actually walk in, it's a nice shelter, but we have paint chipping off the walls. We have all sorts of different problems that need updating regularly at our shelter. And so we're going to be working on those things as well this year.
Greg, we often think about cats and dogs. Do you go beyond that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, we had the big case with the horses in Grafton this year. So we had five horses that were rescued out of a barn in Grafton. They were in terrible condition, and we won that case actually recently, and the horses were surrendered to us. Now, that takes a long time. We went in and rescued those horses in May, and they were finally, the court case was adjudicated in November. So it wasn't until December we were able to move those horses, and that cost thousands upon thousands of dollars of rehabilitation. Those horses were in such bad shape, we had to have vets out almost on a biweekly basis to come out and look at those horses, to provide the care. We had to have farriers out because the hooves of the horses had just actually, on a couple of them, had almost collapsed out. They were just like flattened like pancakes. So we had to rebuild up the hooves on these horses. It takes a long time to do that, and it's a lot of work and a lot of care for the people that do provide that.
Once the horse is back on its feet, so to speak, then what happens?
Well, we adopted those horses out to Caring Loving Homes, and we didn't charge anything. So once again, these are horses that we were just happy to place in good quality homes. They're going to still require a lot more care over the next few, some of them for years, because of the condition we found those horses in. So we also have dealt with everything from an alligator in Sheffield Lake to an iguana that we had to rescue out of a gas station bathroom.
Was that you, Bruce?
I've seen things in the gas station bathrooms, but never an iguana.
Yeah, it was a 3.5-foot iguana just hanging out in a bathroom in a Sitco in Elyria. So we also deal with everything from potbelly pigs to ferrets, rabbits, guinea pigs, you name it. Pretty much if it's a domestic animal, we deal with it.
We're talking this morning to Greg Willey, Executive Director for the Friendship APL, their Wags to Riches fundraiser coming up this Saturday at Tom's Country Place in Avon. You mentioned about the case of rescuing those horses. And it seems like it sort of started this year with the horses, and then we had several different stories about dogs tragically being killed or named with them. What does the Friendship APL, what part do they play in those either rescues or cases, or are you just kind of make awareness about animal abuse and, you know, how to take proper care of an animal and what to do in cases?
We actually provide the humane and cruelty investigation for Lorain County. So either we usually will either assist police departments with their cases or vice versa. They assist us with our cases. So we work very closely with the sheriff's department, our local police departments, to actually prosecute and these particular cases. So, for example, with the horses, we worked closely with the sheriff's department because that was in Grafton. And we worked with them to actually make sure that those horses were removed. That guy was also sentenced to 180 days in jail and won't be able to own animals again for 5 years. And this is a guy that different police departments and humane officers have been after for years and years, and we closed the deal on that one. So we're really proud of that work. They had tried to get him in Medina just a few years ago before we got him this year. So
interesting how you kind of have to, I guess, put evidence together. And as any kind of a legal aspect of it, you have to make sure everything is documented. And so,
oh yeah, we're an absolute law enforcement arm. So we actually go out and investigate any acts of cruelty to humans, or I mean to animals. And I was just going to say, as a result, we also actually work a lot with like child protective services, adult protective services. So there's a human element to this as well, because as sad as this may be, there are more people that are willing to report animal abuse and animal neglect than sometimes child abuse and child neglect. So sometimes when we walk on these properties, we're seeing children in pretty horrible conditions along with the animals. So we have to make those calls and work together in tandem with a lot of other agencies.
So you go
as well.
In with your eyes open just to see everything that's going on in a case, because it's usually not isolated. It doesn't just happen because of one incident. There's a pattern of something that's going on.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what we were saying with the gentleman who killed the gentleman the horrible human being that killed the dog in Lorraine. One of the things that we knew as we were profiling that guy, if you're looking to create that, is that this guy is going to be a violent person, not just towards animals, but to human beings as well. And lo and behold, it comes out that, yes, indeed, this guy had assault charges against him. He had domestic violence charges against him. So this is a guy that had not only was willing to harm an animal, but was willing to harm human beings as well.
If somebody, let's talk about it, you have a pet and on a different subject, escapes or is on the, you know, is out there, you're looking for your pet, or you find an animal. What's the procedure that someone needs to do, whether they're looking for their pet, lost pet, or they happen to come across a stray? What do they do?
Well, here's the first thing is always the basic principle things, which is make sure your dog has a dog license on. And it's this time of year, you should be going out and buying your dog license, making sure that that is readily displayed on your dog's tags and collars. Follow that up with a microchip. Really easy. Actually, most vets provide that service now, and we actually have an on-site group that comes out and they will microchip your dog very affordably, or your cat. So that's a way of actually ensuring that if your dog does get lost, that it gets returned to you. Secondly, we want to always say that start with your local police department, not emergency line. Call them and inform them that the animal's been lost. Because if someone finds the dog, they're going to call oftentimes to report at a local police department. And then finally, call the dog warden and us and let us know that their animal has been lost as well, so we can help you discover your animal. So don't be afraid to reach out to us as well.
I see social media plays a part a lot of times, too. People have their own network. If they have a lost animal, they'll post it out there, perhaps, and other people may see it or that sort of thing, too. And I know that also for the Friendship APL, you kind of, and as many other rescue agencies does, that's how they kind of display their animals that are available for adoption, too.
Yeah, social media has got its good points and its bad points. Take, for example, that frozen cat we just discovered just a couple of weeks ago, Olaf, the frozen cat that was found in Amherst. So that woman had used social media to, you know, post out that she had lost her cat and was looking for a cat. And someone reposted to her that the cat had been hit by a car. And she had believed that and had stopped looking for her cat. And lo and behold, a few weeks later, her cat is found. So social media can play a good role and a bad role, too, because there's misinformation that flows out there as well. So we want to be cautious about that, too. So, you know, it's doing a lot of due diligence and really checking around and making sure that you have all your bases covered and not just relying on one thing to actually...
Right. Well, that's similar to that same thing with anything out of the internet or social media. You want to verify. You want to make sure those things are truthful.
I agree. It's just always making sure that news is news, social media is social media. I mean, and I think that sometimes we lose sight of which one is which and, you know, how to use that appropriately at this point. Because if you're not verifying, if you can't check, those people aren't checking sources, they're not verifying, they're not necessarily stopping along the side of the road to make sure that that's your cat. When we found Olaf, we had 20 people send us photos, call us, and we went down there and took every one of those photos. We didn't want to give anybody false hope. We didn't want to, you know, call somebody. We went down and took those photos, and we went down and matched up alongside a vet and double-checked against each one of those descriptions to make sure we get the right person when we called that person. So that became really important to us, is trying to verify that information before we gave someone any kind of false hope or closure, as in the case of Olaf.
Right. They were able to spend at least a couple times with the animal prior to it.
Yeah, and actually I thought that was still a great story. I think a lot of people thought it was really sad that Olaf passed away, but that family got the kind of closure. They got to spend a couple of days with that cat that they had had for 10, 11 years, and the family got to spend that time with it and got to say their goodbyes, which I think is really important. And it was really important for that family.
Right. Greg Willey with the Executive Director for the Friendship APL. Thanks for stopping in this morning. Again, tickets are going fast for the Tom's Country Place Wags to Riches, the location for that this coming Saturday on Valentine's Day. FriendshipAPL.org. You can find out about tickets in there. Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you very much.